Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. The month of April is Autism Awareness Month. Actress, writer-producer Jennifer Goodman is my guest today, who shares what it's like for her and millions of people who are diagnosed as autistic. Coming up, we will hear highlights of Jennifer's amazing film and TV career. Stay with us.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen, when I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you, when I let go, hold me again. When I don't
interview with actress, writer-producer Jennifer Goodman is coming up on this Holy Good Friday. Stay with us.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org.
I would like to welcome my guest, Jennifer Goodman. Jennifer is an actress, writer, and producer. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Jennifer, you are definitely a triple threat as a female actress, writer, and producer making an impact in Hollywood. You co-created and starred in the crime thriller pilot, Conrad. The series co-stars Eric Roberts and Harry Lennox. And you mirror your character, Kate Conrad, who is also on the autism spectrum, which brings authenticity to the role. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was quite an introduction. I have been involved in theater my whole life. And as someone who was born when they weren't too familiar with autism, I have kind of endured a lot of struggles. So not just rejection on the audition side and on the stage, but also among my peers. So working hard to overcome, get up every day like it's a new day and start again has been kind of my mantra. And it really parallels into the film world because as a person who is an actress, you have to be okay with the word no and you can't let it get to you. So it's really been a great place for me to channel my energy, my passion. When I was younger and going to school, my family's focus was me working in kind of a corporate environment when I graduated. So it really wasn't a lot of excitement about the film world from my family. And so I did fall into that needing to work in the corporate world. And, I went into sales and I hated it because it was constantly, what have you done for me lately? And you're never feeling good enough. And, it's funny because I already struggled with self-esteem, so it was just another reminder of why I was not succeeding. And I couldn't do it. And I struggled with anxiety. I struggled with depression. And it finally got to a point where, what am I doing for myself versus what am I doing for the acceptance and the money? Sure, I made great money. Sure, I was accepted in the sense of doing what I was supposed to be doing. But what are you actually supposed to be doing? Right? Is there a rule book? No, I don't think so. So for me, I really had the itch to get back in the film world. And I had not worked on the production side. I'd only worked as an actress. So, it's funny because I was seeing a therapist and the recommendation was to do something for myself, my own self. And I was like, oof, that's a tough one. Well, I went on Facebook and on Facebook, I was on like a filmmaker site and I saw a post and, my favorite shows are Law and Order, Mariska Hargitay. I would love to work with you, Mariska, if you're listening to this. and The Blacklist is my show, hence why Harry Lennox is in my show and Hisham. I love them very dearly. And I obsessed with Homeland. Claire Danes is a dream. And Leslie Linka Glatter, who ran Homeland, has become my mentor. Hi, Leslie. So I've really, kind of encompassed that world. And I've always loved writing. I did poetry growing up. And so I offered to expand. Ryan had a post about this bad female interrogating a male suspect. And I went, I love the reverse empowerment here. And I offered to expand the script, having no clue what I was going to do, Bev. But I'm in sales, so I was able to come up with something, right? Stay quick on your feet.
How old were you when you joined the entertainment industry?
As a actress in general, I was like 4 or 5. But in college, I did like film stuff. I did stuff in high school, like with my friends. I always like reenacted Now and Then, which ironically was made by Leslie Linka Glatter. So I would say that I really got more into the actual film world when I was in my 30s, because my whole 20s was spent in sales, graduating college and being in sales. I did theater in college, but, it's different. Stage is not the same, and a lot of actors you know, people who are on stage do great work on film, but you have to bring in less reaction. So it's a big transition. And I, you know, Bev, between all of us here listening to this, I'm a pretty outgoing person with a bubbly personality. So there's a lot to bring in when I'm on the camera. So it's an experience.
I know,
for sure.
I get it. Yes.
So yeah, and it kind of fell into this space, offering to expand a script for Ryan and collaborating with him. And now, you know, here we are 5 years later, owning a company, making a movie that comes out in June, and a bunch of short films, and just ready to get started.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands. Say everything's gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith, you believe you're on my side. Open my eyes to see you working in my life. Te confieso a corazón abierto que todo es muy incierto en este desierto. Mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. ¿Por qué será que ya no sale el sol en mis días? ¿Por qué mis noches son tan frías? ¿Por qué será que siento que me falta algo? ¿Por qué este camino gris se siente tan largo? Sé que está sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que está sobrando aunque no te vea. Sé que voy a salir de esta odisea. Sé que voy a ganar esta pelea. Sé que va a cesar esta marea temporaria. Que en ti yo viviré una vida extraordinaria. Y aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que todo, yo sé que
mano está todo.
My interview with actress, writer, producer Jennifer Goodman continues.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org.
How have you been able to overcome, you know, an enormous amount of adversity growing up and working in the entertainment business?
I would say that it never really goes away. You never really, I guess the easiest way to say it is when you're doing something you love and you're passionate about, that excitement is so much more thrilling that that's what gets me up and doing it over and over again. The rejection in your peer dynamics and in your, you know, work environment is a lot different than I'd say in film, because there's always someone filming. There's always opportunities. You know, I always say that if you build something, it will come. And I get that from my father. I'm a firm believer that if there is no opportunity, you create your own. Film industry is a space to create, whereas the corporate and sales world, all that, is not a space to create. You're working under the man or the woman, okay? And you're in the corporate environment and you're doing things a certain way because that's the expectation. But in film, what is the expectation? As long as you're paying people or you're following the union or you're not in a union and you're working the best way you can, that's really all you can ask.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, it's a challenge to shift perceptions of people with disabilities in entertainment especially, and bring a voice to those who have been marginalized. Have you seen progress since you got started in the industry?
You know, it's a work in progress. In some places, yes, in other places, no. I think that it really depends on the market you're in. For the Chicago market, I think that it needs to be more pronounced. I can't say or speak for other markets. I do think that, you know, in, within the LGBTQT environment, I think that they've, you know, really opened up the doors for many opportunities for many people. I think one of the things that I find to be a challenge for many is if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. And I think that's very untrue. And we still keep the unseen, pun intended, right? Is the name of my movie. But we still keep it taboo. And I don't know why. You know, everyone says, oh, you have to make sure that we're inclusive. But, you know, if you don't see the disability, then they don't have it. That's not true. You don't seem like you're autistic. You don't seem like you have depression. You don't. And I just, I hate that. And I just wish there was a way for people to understand that you don't have to see it to know it's there. There's a lot of people that are silently suffering and we don't pay attention. And that angers me.
You know, and that's why it's so important to have diversity and equality in entertainment.
It really is.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad that they're being more open to people in those communities as well. I just think we need to be open to all the communities, the seen and the unseen, if that makes sense.
That's right. That's right. Now, you also created and produced the psychological thriller The Nest that won a notable Top Women Producers Award in 2018. That's an interesting, I mean, too, because the primary goals of The Nest is to empathize with those suffering with mental illness.
I actually co-directed that.
Yeah, you're on the same page with that as well. I mean, I find that interesting.
A lot of the work that I do, it's easy to for the pen to flow when we're the computer words typing. When it deals with mental health or developmental disabilities, because I feel that, you know, I'm so familiar with a lot of the challenges especially being heard in that world. I'm heard in the fact that I talk too much. I definitely do. I'm always talking. Sometimes you have to tell me to shut up. But I think
they can't help but hear you, right?
Well, it's funny because when I was younger, they used to not think, I didn't talk until I was 2, and then they couldn't figure out how to shut me up, and here we are. But I think, in the film world, seeing is really believing. You're visually telling a story. And the neck mm-hmm. tells a story of a family that judges their own daughter to be crazy and for her to be treated like she's, got issues. When the truth is, there's a lot of history to it. And it's actually a short film that has an emphasis on a feature. The story of Rachel and kind of the dynamic between her family and her mother and her father, her stepfather, is really prominent. And I think, I take experiences from my own life. Of course, they're not that extreme, but I've had moments. There's a really big fight scene that happens that's very similar to instances with my own family. And, I see that scene and it just brings me to that place and those times when I was younger and the screaming matches were happening. And it's hard because, parents want the best for their kid and they don't always know how to handle it. And sometimes mm-hmm. the only way to handle it is to be mean. But that's not, because that sticks with you, and then the child's self-esteem is affected. So, I like these stories because it really shows the reality of what someone may be going through, where, you may not go through that because you don't have those same differences. But you can be, understanding and have rachmonis, is the word I use, for those who are not, able to do those things on their own or who are suffering in their family dynamics. And, I have a lot of family dynamic storylines. And I don't know if people see that, but even in Conrad, the relationship with her father, my father in my real life is my absolute hero. If it weren't for my father, wow. I would not still be here. And he has believed in me and supported me and gone against all of the commentaries and all the diagnoses to prove that I'm a daughter who will be successful. And he has lived that life. He has shown that life, and he is constantly in my corner. And so, the emphasis on the daughter-father relationship that Eric Roberts plays in Conrad is an example of that. Not feeling good enough, but knowing that your father is always there to support you, even though he has tough love, even though he is hard on her, that kind of thing.
Well, I just think it's really great when films touch on the mental illness or those subjects. And basically that it's okay to talk openly about it.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned taboo. Basically, it's a taboo. But that's what you're bringing out. And I think that's great.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
This is the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actress, writer-producer Jennifer Goodman continues. We will be back after the break.
As Americans, there's one thing we can all agree on: the promise of our Constitution and the hope that liberty and justice is for all people. But here's the truth. Attacks on our constitutional rights, yours and mine, are greater than they've ever been. The right for all to vote, reproductive rights, the rights of immigrant families, the right to equal justice for Black, Brown, and LGBTQ plus folks.
We protect everyone's rights, the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression, racial justice, LGBTQ rights, the rights of the disabled. We are here for everyone.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought on behalf of millions of Americans, protecting our vote and our voice. I believe in the ACLU because they're for real. To learn more about how the ACLU is fighting for your rights and mine, go to myaclu.org today.
You co-founded Lakefront Pictures based in Chicago, and that's with producer Ryan Atkins. So how did you and Ryan meet up and get started?
Well, so I had mentioned a few moments ago about a post on social media, and that post on social media was related to a very empowering female interrogating a male suspect and her questioning him about some crimes and things that happened. And he was the one that posted it, and I had reached out to him to audition. He cast me after my audition as the lead of this project he was doing. And then I offered to expand it. And so I actually got involved with Conrad just from seeing a Facebook post, and it was originally called Veronica. And I remember in the audition room, I said, after I auditioned, and he's like, you know, I'll let you know. I thought you did a great job. He's like, do you have any questions for me? And I said, yeah, I do, actually. Why did you name her Veronica? And he's like, oh, just a name I thought of. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he called me like 4 hours later, and he cast me. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so excited. And I go, can I change her name? I hate that name.
And Veronica.
I loved the show Revenge, and I loved Conrad Grayson. And I was like, you know, what about Kate Conrad and Catherine with a Y? And he was like, I don't know if we should call a show Kate Conrad. I'm like, what about just Conrad? And he's like, I don't dislike that. I like the ring of that. I'm like, it's ambiguous. Who is Conrad? And so that's kind of how it evolved. But it was funny because he makes fun of me. He's always like, yeah, I know you didn't like my idea of Veronica. I'm like, oh, come on. It was a name.
Yeah, that is interesting, though, the way you met.
It is. But like, now for people who have the name Veronica, I do not dislike the name Veronica. I just didn't feel this character was a Veronica. I felt like she needed more of a one-syllable name, like Kate.
Okay, so all the Veronicas out there, please listen to this.
Don't be offended.
Please don't be offended.
Oh, gosh, I can see the messages coming now. Guys, I didn't mean that.
Okay, why did you say this? Okay. Right. There's two films I'm going to talk about real quick that, you know, that you already had that won several. You've got Black Hatter that won several festival awards.
Yeah.
That's a psychological thriller. That one interests me because it's about the sins they've committed, and they look inward at themselves.
And the consequences.
Yeah. It just makes them elevate who and what they are. I mean, that one really did resonate, and so I like that one. And I can see why it won awards.
Thank you. That was actually written by a wonderful creator named Amanda and Sarah Quinn. They, me and Amanda came up with a prompt, and they kind of came up with the ideas of, you know, where to go, and there was a man named Vincent who was also a director's consultant. He had some ideas, and part of the elevating was that Sarah loves writing, so I said, why don't you write it? And then I helped her kind of clean it up and make it a little bit tighter of a script and kind of flush it out. But we kind of collaborated on that, and I mean, it really, really was a very well done project, and I think it was the team that was really able to elevate it, and it was a good team. So
yeah, it sounds like it. And also, is it pictures only?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a power.
During the late 1950s. I mean, those are all.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
We got that project from a wonderful filmmaker named Charles Honeywood, and he actually had reached out to Lakefront to help him produce it. And we did, we had, you know, a lot of challenges on that, but we made it, and it's beautifully done. It's one of our proudest works. You know, he did a great job, and, you know, he had a great package, and we were very impressed. So, you know, we really enjoyed working on that one. That's where I met a lot of the people that are now, that were a part of the Unseen on the crew side, was through pictures.
Yeah, we're going to get to Unseen in the last one. I know that's your biggie right now. Yeah, we're going to promote that one. Exactly. Well, those were two I wanted to bring up because I knew that was great work that you did, and you won some awards, and I just wanted everyone to know about them so they can look out for them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, are there any actors that you want to give credit to for, you know, the many of your horror films, or anybody out there you want to mention?
Yes. I would love to give credit to everyone. It is so hard to just individually give a credit to one person, but I can say that RJ Mitty was incredible. We were honored to work with him. He really did a fine job portraying Tommy, and, you know, it was great playing his brother. So I think, you know, the entire Olsen family in the project, Kimberly, Michelle Vaughn, she really did a great job playing his coworker. There's just so many. Candace Rose, who is fabulous, and she is always doing some great work. Oscar Mansky, really good job. I mean, I could sit here and go through everyone, you know. I'm just going to start laying all the cast. But overall, I mean, even, you know, Gina, who played Rachel, and you know, there's a lot of people, and I feel very blessed that we've had some really fine, terrific actors in our project. Mark McCullough, Sue Kremen, all of them, I feel very, you know, blessed to have had the opportunity to work with each and every single one of them. And it was a very fine process in the casting. Vince and I were meticulous.
What about Rebecca Kennedy? Which one is she in?
Rebecca Kennedy is amazing. She was also in The Unseen. She is fabulous. She's done incredible. That's exactly what I didn't want to forget anybody. So she is. She's terrific. She's also a friend. That's why I said at the beginning, there's so many. I don't want to forget anybody.
Just say everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Yes. Yep. All right.
Everybody.
So you are currently filming the horror film The Unseen alongside actor R.J. Mitty. If I mispronounce, you need to correct me. He's from Breaking Bad. And then we have Christian Stolte from Chicago Fire.
Yes.
This film follows a young lawyer who finds himself in a twisted web of murder and deceit brought on by a dark force from his past. So I want you to open up and tell us all the goody about it, everything that's going on, the updates, when it's going to premiere, and everything.
The movie, gosh, there's so many things I can't say. But what I can say is we are coming to theaters June 30th. We will be on VOD. There will be announcements for exclusive ways to download and purchase the movie as well. That'll be coming out. So that's exciting as much as it will be in theaters. So we're really, really looking forward to that. We have our premiere coming up. We've gotten in some wonderful festivals. The movie itself really plays into the similar themes of my other projects related to family dynamics, familial pressure, collective guilt, our choices, how our choices affect ourselves, how they affect our family, affect our friends, and our lives. So there's a lot of message, and there's truly a ton of grit, and RJ really encapsulates the role nicely and brings in a lot of that depth, and we were truly proud to see the film flourish the way it has. Ryan and I did a lot with Post, working with Periscope, working with an editor out of LA, and, you know, going to the American film market. Ryan and I were out there. Vincent joined us towards the latter half. And we've really been learning the business side. And it's truly been an incredible experience. We've learned so much. We now can educate others. We can provide value to others. And we have relationships. So it's really been worth it.
Wow. I was really impressed when I found out that it received the international and domestic distribution.
Yes.
I thought that was fabulous. Yeah. And the premiere, when is the premiere?
So the movie is coming out June 30th. So, we'll have it sometime before then. Announcements will be made soon. We will have one in LA and we are having one in Chicago. It's really exciting. Yeah.
When are you going to release the trailer so that, you know, it'll go out so we can show everyone?
That is a great question. So our PR team, we have a PR team that is working exclusively with Gravitas and the Coven on that piece, but it will be out definitely probably in the next month or so. You know, we're sitting here watching it. We're like, I just want to post, and we can't because there's a very strategic process how these things happen. We have an exclusive release, and so when that comes out, I will make sure to let you know.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see it. Everybody's anticipating.
There's torn up pages in this book. Words that tell me I'm no good. Chapters that define me for so long. But the hands of grace and endless love dusted.
back, Jennifer shares tips of wisdom for up-and-coming actors. Stay with us.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org.
Well, I just have a few more questions I want to ask you. I wanted to let you have that big shout out about The Unseen. They've seen the post on my social media, and you know they've been asking. I think you've seen the comments and all the activity, so they're all curious about the movie.
Tell them to follow Unseen Movie and follow Lakefront Pictures for exclusive announcements on how they can see and learn about it.
Okay. All right. Well, what we'll do on the next post, we'll make sure we make a note of all that for them to follow.
Perfect.
Yes. So tell me, what do you like most about acting?
I love – it's a good question. I love getting into a new environment and – connecting with a scene partner and building something. I just love being in a, you know, a world that's not my own, and having the opportunity to connect with someone. Also, I love cameras and I love being in front of them. But you
I
know, being on a
that.
Set.
Yeah.
See, I worry about so Alex Albatross. Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
That speaks so loud right now. It's so obvious.
I don't know what to say. I hope that's a compliment. I just know
it
I love.
It is a compliment. Yes. Yes.
I'm full of life when I'm in front of the camera. It's exhilarating for me. And I love the crew. Oh my God. I love being around crew and getting to know everybody and having fun and joking around. And, you know, especially, you know, during the opportunities to talk to people, you know, it's really fun to learn about other people and, you know, get a chance to work with a lot of different types of people. And I've always really just gotten a high of excitement on just being on set. Super motivating for me, especially in front of the camera.
Awesome.
That's the best.
Awesome. Well, if anything you would be asked to change about your work, what would be that one thing?
About my work as a producer, an actress, or just a human?
Let's say actress.
Okay. Letting go. I think that part of my biggest hurdle in my performances is being insecure and you know, I'm not confident in my own skin the way I should be. And being more happy with who I am in my place. And I think by letting go and just being present does wonders for my performances. And people have noticed in my performance when I'm not fixated on something that I have no control over.
Right. Right.
You know, I look at other actors who really, really dive into their characters and they're so believable. And I'm like, God, how do they do that, you know? And, you know, I would love to be able to do that.
Well, it's definitely something to work on, right?
Yes, it is.
And gets better with age.
You know, it's hard when you're a multi-hyphenate, when you're acting, you're writing, you're producing, you're production coordinating, you're making sure that the PA didn't get a ticket on his car while the cameras are rolling, and you're like, oh my God, I forgot to tell somebody that he's worried about his car. We need to let him go outside and move. You know, it's like I'm constantly worrying about making sure everyone else is happy, that I overly compensate, and then people are overwhelmed by it, versus just being present in the moment.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. So what is your best role so far?
Oh, boy. Okay, actually, I do know the answer to that. I thought it would be Kate Conrad on Conrad, but it was actually being the secondary Omaha secondary officer on Better Call Saul. That was a dream. Working with the, like, incredible famous Peter Gould, he is a class act, and he is such a class act. He called me to let me know that part of my scene was cut before it came out to just say, hey, I just wanted to let you know. Yeah, he is so respectable. He is such an honorable person. He's wonderful to work with, humble, the whole bit. I mean, the whole crew was just the entire BRBA family, that's what they call themselves, BRBA, and then the BCS family, a dream. Everybody just gets along. Everybody does their thing. You know, there was a couple new PAs who had never worked in, you know, the film or production industry, and they were like, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to upset you. I thought you were supposed to stand here. I'm like, that's okay. Like, super nice. Just really great people. So, and I loved acting on that show. Oh, my God. Working with Bob Odenkirk. Ah, that was very cool. I don't want to tell you what I did, because then I ruin it for those who haven't seen episode 613.
I know. Well, great.
Yeah.
So what inspires you to stay motivated in TV and film?
Creating.
That's probably a crazy
being
question for you, because you're motivated when you wake up in the morning, I'm sure. But
some days.
You know. Right.
Let's be honest, right? Some days I just want to sit in bed and don't do anything. Or be on my laptop.
Right, right.
My husband comes to the room. He's like, so are you going to enjoy the day? I'm like, well, I'm working. He's like, oh, okay. Like, this is your working. I would say on days that I'm on set, I'm up and at 'em. Days that I'm writing, I'm, you know, up and at 'em. I think my motivation is being on set with other people.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, I'm an introvert, actually. I don't really go out. I'm not a big partier. I like my home. You know, I like to go out, get dinner, go home, and go to bed.
You're vast like the ocean. Yeah, the voices in your head have got you. You don't really know how powerful you are. Always in motion. I smile to myself as I watch you. You don't need to win me over, I've been yours. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. You got that golden touch, oh, yeah. I mean, I know you're scared, but are you aware? You are made of stardust. The universe inside you. Yeah. A straight up miracle. It's so incredible how you sometimes can forget. You're brilliant like stars. I
the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actress, writer-producer Jennifer Goodman continues.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org.
Okay, yeah. Before we close, I want to ask you another question. What advice do you have for young people who are just starting their careers?
Young people. So newer actors or actually children?
No, young people, you know, like in just starting out of college and they want to get into acting.
I will tell you. Well, first and foremost, I would say get experience working in production. I can't tell you how many actors do not know the business or what crew do, me included. I went into this business, full disclosure, no shame here. I talk about Conrad and how successful it was. I went into it having no idea what crew do. And, you know, I asked them to volunteer and to help or, oh, yeah, we'll pay you when we get distribution. And, you know, really believing that that's what's going to happen and not realizing that, you know, people feel taken advantage of if you don't respect and understand what they do. And, you know, you don't just come on set and think you're a star. You know, sure, there's actors that do that and maybe they've worked to that point or maybe they haven't. But regardless, I would say to a younger actor, have respect from everyone who is in that space with you, down to the PAs, down to the interns. Say hello to everyone. Be polite. You're not too good for anyone else because the truth is those reputations stick with you. And if you don't take the time to understand and all you do is assume, you really do burn bridges. And I've had to learn the hard way. And, you know, part of it is based on my experience, you know, as no knowledge, right? I didn't go to film school, right? I didn't have classes that taught me how to work on a set. So my experiences were just being an actor and thinking that people take care of you the whole time. And I was entitled, 100%. Doesn't work like that. And so I would tell my younger self to put my attitude away and recognize that these people are working for you and supporting you, and you need to make sure that they feel that same support. And, you know, I love helping and encouraging people, but even in those behaviors, I wasn't aware that the way that I communicated was hard for people to say no. Because I was so excited. I was like, oh, yeah, and if you want to bring out the crafty and then do this. And they were like, sure, I'll do it. And then I find out, like, they weren't in crafty. Why was I asking the grip to bring the crafty out? I didn't even realize he was doing that. Okay, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. So, like, things that you really need to understand what people do. What do the terms mean? How do they work? Would be my advice. And if you already know, be mindful and appreciative of the work they do for you and for each other.
That is great advice, Jennifer. Great advice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being a guest, a super guest on the Bev Moore Show. We wish you continued success going forward. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with the very talented actress, writer-producer, Jennifer Goodman, who shared highlights of how she overcomes daily challenges of being autistic. She also talked about how important it is as an actor to be good role models to others who dream of becoming a performer. Thank you for listening to The Bev Moore Show,
live streaming on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. I'm Bev Moore, wishing you a very blessed Good Friday and Easter weekend. Until next time, bye-bye.